ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्राये स्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
So today we'll be reading from Canto 6, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation. Text number 56 is on the board, right? It starts with Tvam Tatha. Okay. So 56 to 61, right? Till the end of the chapter. Because there is purport by His Divine Grace only for text number 56. Then from 57 till 61, there is no purport. That's why we will be going through the series of verses from 56 until 61. So 56 is on the board. You can follow.
त्वं तात नरहसि च मां कृपणामनाथाम् त्वं तात नरहसि च मां कृपणामनाथाम् त्यक्तुं विचक्ष्व पितरं तव शोकतप्तम् अञ्जस्तरेम भवता प्रजदुस्तरं जात् ध्वन्तं न जाह्य करुणेन जमेन दूरम् त्वं तात नार्हसि च मां कृपणामनाथाम् त्यक्तुं विचक्ष्व पितरं तव शोकतप्तम् अञ्जस्तरेम भवतात् प्रजदुस्तरं जात् ध्वन्तं न जाह्य करुणेन जमेन दूरम् त्वं तात नार्हसि च मां कृपणामनाथाम्
त्यक्तुं विचक्ष्व पितरं तव शोकतप्तम्। अञ्जस्तरेम भवता प्रजदूस्तरं जद् ध्वन्तं न जाय करुणेन जमेन दूरम्। प्लीज रिपीट। Matajis. Okay, so I'll read other verses, then we'll continue. Text 57. Uttishta tatata ime sisabhavayasya svamavayanti nirpanandana sambihartum supta shiram hyasanayacha bhavan parito bhungsvastanam divasucha harana svakanam नाहं तनु जददृशे हतमंगलाते मुग्धस्मितं उदितमेक्षणमाननाब्जं किंबागतस्य पुनरन्वजमन्यलोकं नीताघ्रणेन न शृणोमि कलागिरस्ते श्रीशुक उवाच विलपन्त्यामृतं पुत्रं मीति चित्र विलापनं चित्रकेतुर्विसंतप्तं मुक्तकण्ठरुरोदः तयोर्विलपतो सर्वे दम्पत्योस्तदनुव्रता रुरुदुस्म नरा नार्य सर्वमासीदचेतनम् एवं कस्मलमापन्नं नष्टसंज्ञं मनायकं ज्ञात्वाङ्गीरा नाम ऋषिराजगामास नारद. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. My dear son, I am helpless and very much aggrieved. You should not give up my company. Just look at your lamenting father. We are helpless because without a son, we shall have to suffer the distress of going to the darkest hellish regions. You are the only hope by which we can get out of these dark regions. Therefore, I request you not to go any further with the merciless Yama. My dear son, you have slept a long time. Now please get up. Your playmates are calling you to play. Since you must be very hungry, please get up and suck my breast and dissipate our lamentation. My dear son, I am certainly most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude that you have been taken from this planet to another, from which you will not return. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son, King Chitraketu began crying loudly, with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. As the king and queen lamented, all their male and female followers joined them in crying. Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious. When the great sage Angira understood that the king was almost dead, in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narada Rishi. Purport. According to the Vedic injunctions, one must accept a wife just to beget a son who can deliver one from the clutches of Yamaraj. Unless one has a son to offer oblations to the Pitas or forefathers, one must suffer in Yamaraja's kingdom. King Chitraketu was very much aggrieved, thinking that because his son was going away with Yamaraj, he himself would again suffer. The subtle laws exist for the karmis. If one becomes a devotee, he has no more obligations to the laws of karma. So, in this chapter, Chitraketu's lamentation has been clearly defined to give us a lesson that it gives a very clear message to the devotees how strong is the potency of the illusory energy of the Lord. And of course, in previous section, when we are discussing about when one queen, Satadruti, right, Kritadruti, she begot a son, then other queens, they became very much against. They were envious, not only with Kritadruti, but also with the king. When they found that king was very much loving to only one queen, and because of his attachment towards the son, he was naturally inclined to spend more time with her. So that arose a sense of envy in the heart of the other queens who were childless. And it is explained very clearly that these queens, they were finding fault with the king. It's quite natural that, you know, after a long time, he has been blessed with a son, so he would be naturally inclined to spend more time with the son. And because he was spending more time with the son, it's also quite natural to spend more time with the wife. So this was intolerable. Other queens, they could not tolerate this, and they started finding fault with the king. And it is clearly explained that when one starts finding fault with others, what is the consequence? This explains, this secret is being explained to us. You see, we being the devotee of the Lord are always warned not to be envious. Unless we understand the implications that are involved behind being envious, we'll not be very cautious for not becoming envious. So here you see, these queens, they were unnecessarily finding fault with the king, and as a result of which, they became very much envious. It increased their envy to such an extent that they became hard-hearted. So, what is the proof? Because they became hard-hearted, they gave poison to a little baby. Who could do this without having a stone-like heart? Now you can imagine, even while practicing devotional service, if we start finding fault with other devotees, then the result would be our heart will be hard, will become hard-hearted, and that may lead to a very, very dangerous consequence. Like in this case, in this situation, we can see these queens, they didn't bother even to poison a little baby who deserves love from every mother. Now you can imagine, actually, if you think it quite, putting your concentration to this, you can understand the severity of being envious. So, in this connection, especially when this son was, we have heard this narration. The son was sleeping in his room for a long time, and Queen Kritadyuti was thinking, "Oh, maybe today my son is resting for a little more time. Let me allow him to rest." And then after some time, she could not bear the separation from her son for a long time. So she asked the paricharikas, the maids, to go and find out why the son is still sleeping. And then when this maid, she went to wake up the son, and she found that son's soul from the body has left. So then she started crying. And then after hearing the cry, Kritadyuti, she also arrived on the spot. When she arrived on the spot, what she is saying is being explained in this. Actually, it is said that evam daivam prati akrasya atha mritam balakam prati vilapam tam iti. While lamenting for his dead son, he was trying to throw her anger at destiny. She was trying to blame the providence. Why did you? How can you do this to me? It's unfair. And at the same time, Bilapa means she is remembering her son and speaking at the same time she is crying. That is Bilap. She is saying, Tum tatanarhasi cha mam kripanam anatha. So she is saying that we have become now kripana. Why is she saying kripana? Because if you leave us in this condition of life, then we will go and suffer in the darkest region of hell. So why is she saying like this? Because the system is, a grihastha, he desires to have a son. Why does he desire to have a son? Because the son can deliver his parents from suffering from the hellish condition of life. A son is supposed to save the parents from going to the hell called Put. That's why he is called Putra. So this Putra, the son, who has the responsibility to rescue the parents from Put, hell. So now the son is living before them. So they are thinking, now we will have to suffer in the hell. So we have to understand this, actually how the son protects the father or even the forefathers from going to the hell. There is a system in the ritualistic performances given that after a soul leaves the body, then the body is taken to the crematorium for disposal. But the soul is taken to the court of Yamaraj. And we have already heard of this in Canto 5. Anyway, so when the soul is taken to the court of Yamaraj, at that time, he has to go through some punishment. It's quite similar. The law of the government and Yamaraj's law is kind of quite similar. If you see, somebody is ordered to be hanged by the law of the country, and then the day when he is taken to hang, he will be asked just before being hanged, do you have some last desire, or do you want to talk to somebody, do you want to meet with somebody? And they will allow him to fulfill his last desire before hanging him. So similarly, the soul is taken to the court of Yamaraj, and on 11th day, he is let loose. And he is told to go find out If you have somebody who can help you with the situation, if there is somebody, then you can kind of, you know, be freed. So at that time, the soul, he comes and he is actually waiting. Of course, he is in invisible form, but he comes and he is very much eagerly waiting that, oh, my son is there, my family members are there. They will definitely do something to rescue me from my fallen condition, from such a dangerous situation. He understands imminent danger is waiting for him. If somebody is helping him at that time, then he will be saved. But if no one from his dependent members follow the ritualistic systems to rescue him, then he becomes very, very angry, being very upset with the dependent, and you know, now they have become, of course, independent, his immediate family members, he curses them and he goes back to hell to suffer because nobody helped him. So now you see, this is of course the Karmakanda section of the Veda explains, and if you read Garuda Puran, this explanation is given. That's why normally on the 11th day this ceremony is performed. If it is done properly, if he is offered with Vishnu Prasad, then definitely he will be rescued. So the point here is, there she is lamenting, even the king is saying, that akarunena jamena duram na jahi, oh my dear son, don't go with the merciless Yama. Akaruna, Yamaraj is merciless. He does not show any mercy to anyone. He always tries to punish everybody. Now you are living before us. Who will be there to save us? So definitely this merciless Yama will not spare us. So please don't leave us at this point of time. You have a responsibility. You have to fulfill your duty. So then she says, Uttishta tato, oh my dear son, how long you want to sleep? As she was remembering, previously this boy used to go and play with his friends. So now she is saying, she is remembering, this is called vilapa. Oh, you used to go and play with your playmates. Now you must be feeling hungry. Please wake up, suck my breast milk. I want to feed you, I want to take care of you. And what she is saying? She is saying, I want to see your beautiful smiling face. Not only that, the way you used to talk. Small children that speak with broken language, you know, ba ba ba, when they speak like this, they, you know, the parents, they actually enjoy their, you know, broken language. So she is remembering, and the father is also remembering, saying, oh, I'll not be able to hear these voices from you. Very important, very nicely it is being explained that when the king and queen, they were crying for the departed son, all the subjects from the country, they also started to cry. That's what he said, Rurudu nara nariya sarvam asid achetasa. Everybody was in the ocean of lamentation. And it is said, they were crying, they are lamenting for the dead son. This person explains how the Maya Shakti, the illusory potency of the Lord, is so strong. How it happens? Here you see, it says Nrupa Nandana. She is saying, Nrupa Nandana. Nandana means Nandati. Oh, you give pleasure to the king. And then it is said that Tanuja. Tanuja. Tanuja means she is referring that this body has come from my body. My body. That's why she is very much attached. The skin is taking care of us. That's why we are very much attached to him. The skin is supplying all the needs for the sustenance of this material body. That's why we are supposed to lament with him while he is lamenting. No, these are all the kind of work of the illusory potency of the Lord. This Maya Shakti is kind of, you know, confusing them. And then they continue, they say, evam kalma samapannam nashta sangyam anayakam. How can you say, king is anayakam, king is still alive. Now he is lamenting for the son. The king is there for you. Why in this text it is said, they were anayakam. Anayakam means without a guide. What a king is supposed to do? A king is supposed to give instructions to the subject in the matter of the difference between the body and soul. Means the king's instructions should be centered around guiding the subject to become Krishna conscious. Now this king who is lamenting for the departed son, how can he give an instruction concerning spiritual life? That's why Angira Muni, who is Trikalagya, Trikalagya means who understands past, present and future. Actually before getting this son, this Muni was there. And at that time only, this Muni had clearly mentioned that this son will also be the cause of your lamentation. Well, that time he was in the happiest mood. At least I will get this son. So now, to remind the same thing again, this Angira Muni along with Narada. Why? He is bringing Narada with him. Because Narada means Naram Ajnanam Dhyati Khandayati Naram Jnanam Va Dadati Iti Narada. Narada has a very important quality. What does he do? Ajnanam Khandayati. Narada Muni destroys the ignorance. Or Jnanam Dadati. He gives spiritual knowledge. Right? Narada Pancharatra. So, Narada Muni, he has come along with Angira Rishi so that the ignorance of King Chitraketu will be destroyed and he will be given with spiritual knowledge. That's why he has come with Narada Muni. So, Srila Prabhupada, while commenting in the purport, he said, the subtle law exist for the karmis. If one becomes a devotee, he has no more obligations to the laws of karma. What does this mean? This means if somebody is strictly following karmakanda sections of the Veda, still he will not be rescued so easily. But a devotee, the law of karma is not applicable to the devotees. That's why Brahma says, karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Those who are practicing devotional service, for them, karmas are automatically destroyed. Karmani nirdahati. So, in this connection, we should understand this lamentation which was on the bodily plane was no more helpful to the king. But what is the highest lamentation for a devotee? When devotee also sometimes lament, but what is the lamentation for the devotees? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having the conversation with Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking to Ramananda Rai, Dukkha Madhye Kun Dukkha Hoy Gurutar. Krishna bhakta viraha vina dukkha nahi dekhibar. Ramananda Rai, he responds to Mahaprabhu's query. Mahaprabhu says, dukkha madhye kon dukkha hai gurutar? Which is the highest sorrow I can consider in this world? Then Ramananda Rai said, the highest sorrow, the most unbearable unhappiness is that the separation from the devotees of the Lord, Vaishnavas. And to support this, Srila Prabhupada, he quotes from other Shastra, where it is said that when a person becomes most unhappy, if you try to describe the state of unhappiness, like in this situation, Chitraketu's son was dead, he is thinking, he was actually most unhappy. Somebody having gotten some wealth, if he loses that wealth, then also he becomes very unhappy. So these are all momentary explanation of how one becomes unhappy. So the actual unhappiness according to Shastra is defined like this, that Krishna says, Mam anaradhya dukkhartha kutumba sakta manasa. One who is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And kutumba sakta chit manasa. Kutumba asakta manasa means he is unduly attached to his family members. So two things. One thing is he is unduly attached to the family members and he is not a devotee of the Lord. He is not engaged in the execution of the devotional service of the Lord. This person is most unhappy. You may say, even though there are so many people in the world who are not performing devotional service, but they are happy. That happiness is not considered happiness. That happiness is preceded with unhappiness. That's why it's a question of time when unhappiness is going to appear in his life. So that's why, and the other person is described, one who satsanga rahita, one who does not associate with the devotees or Vaishnavas. And vriddha seva parichyuta, who does not care for the superiors, does not serve the superiors. Means service to the superior, association of the devotees, and being engaged in devotional service of the Lord, and becoming following the Yukta Vairagya principle in the matter of family life. These are safeguard for the devotees. If somebody is not following these principles, then he is considered most unhappy person. And also he says, actually, when a devotee, he follows these principles, he cannot bear the separation of the association of the devotees even for a moment. When I was reading this, I was thinking about this nice devotee called Srinivas Acharya, associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can see from his life how aggrieved he was when he was losing the opportunity one after another to have the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his dear associates. Sri Srinivas Acharya, who is considered as the second body incarnation of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself had predicted prior to the appearance of Srinivas Acharya, what kind of personality he will be, what kind of role he will play in furthering his movement. And When he heard from Narahari Sarkar Thakur and he decided to go to Jagannath Puri, just before he entered Puri, he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left this planet. And on that day, night, he decided that I will set fire and enter into the fire to end my life here, because I will not get the opportunity to take darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The separation was so intense. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen or have you ever heard of somebody who is lamenting for the departed family members and thinking, oh, now I have lost this person, I would set fire and enter into the fire source? No, nobody ever thinks that. That's a Krishna Bhakta, even after that also. And then you can see, after that, from Jagannath Puri, actually when he went to Jagannath Puri, he finally met with Gadadhar Pandit. And he knew that Gadadhar Pandit was very expert in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So he wanted to listen to Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And then when Gadadhar Pandit, he opened Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinivas could see there is no page very clearly visible now that they can study Bhagavatam. Why? Because Gadadhar Pandit was in deep separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went on crying incessantly and the tears will roll down from his eyes, and that destroyed the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why he could not read Srimad Bhagavatam with Srinivasacharya. And he told to Srinivasacharya, he told, my dear son, you go to Vrindavan, take the association of Rupa and Sanatan, they are still available. But after taking instructions from Gadadhar Pandit, with a desire to study Srimad Bhagavatam from him again, Srinivas Acharya, he returned back to Bengal and he went to Narahari Thakur and he got a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and he was returning back to have association of Gadadhar Pandit. Again, on the way back to Puri, he heard Gadadhar Pandit has left this planet. And it is said that when he heard this, he was wandering in the forest like a madman. He did not know what to do. Now you can imagine why Ramananda Rai is saying the most unhappy situation is being disassociated from the devotee of the Lord. Being bereft of the association of the devotees of the Lord is the highest form of unhappiness. You can see this devotee. Definitely, and not only this, then after that, he was going to Puri from Navadvip, and to Vrindavan. When he was going to Vrindavan, on the way he heard Sanatana Goswami has already left his body. And then few Brajavasis, they came, they said, don't worry, you can go to Vrindavan. And when he went and he arrived in Vishram Ghat, that time he heard Rupa Goswami has left from this planet. It's very nicely explained. What I'm trying to say is, this devotee, he has shown the practical example of this statement of Ramananda Rai. The most unhappy situation for a devotee is lack of the association of the devotees of the Lord, Vaishnava association. Now, the next thing comes, we are here, we are living in the temple, or we may stay anywhere in any part of the world, we don't actually feel that sort of unhappiness, even though we are missing out association of the devotees. How many devotees, they really take it so sincerely and seriously? It's a very important point. In this episode, the lesson has been given to us that apart from being an eternal associate of Lord Krishna, Srinivas Acharya had executed Shuddha Bhakti, pure, unadulterated devotional service. And another point is, he was very much attached to the process of devotional service. You see, because of his eternal association, eternal position in the spiritual world, it is quite natural for him to feel the separation. Just like King Chitraketu, definitely his son is dead, he will feel more intense separation. But others will not feel to that extent. But in case of devotional service, it is not like that. When we perform pure devotional service, and our mind is always attached to the execution of the principles of devotional service, it will automatically breed the desire in us how we can go for the association of the devotees. Wherever there is a chance, we'll try to go. We'll never be able to miss that opportunity. If we miss the opportunity and we satisfy ourselves, we console ourselves with so many explanations, reasoning, I had this to do, I had that to do, I had this to do. This means you have failed to execute pure devotional service and you are not very much attached to the execution of the sadhanangas, the principles of sadhana bhakti. So, when a devotee performs these two things very carefully, then definitely he will be saved and he will not lament like Chitraketu is lamenting, and he will not suffer from the laws of karma. Thank you all very much. Whatever we have discussed, any question or comment?
Hare Krishna. Since for the devotee, it is, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that it is not necessary to perform these karmakanda rituals, what is the significance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing this ritual when Jagannath Mishra left?
It's called Loka Sikhartham. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, while giving instructions about the devotees executing varnashram duties, he said, devotees should also perform varnashram duties not for the sake of getting any advancement, rather to teach the general populace that everybody has the duty to execute their varnashram duties. After, you know, father leaves his body, it is the duty of his son to go and give this pinda in Gaya. Okay. And then he will be delivered, the father will be delivered. So to set the example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to do this, he had to set the example. Now similarly, when a devotee is already performing devotional service, there is no need for him to follow these karmakanda rituals. But sometimes when you are living in a community, then these people, they would not like you. So that's why what you do it, without being attached to the process, you are doing it for the sake of helping others to follow it correctly. That's why a devotee is not performing these ritualistic ceremonies as karmakandis would do. But we have our own process given by even our Gopal Bhatta Goswami, right? Satkriya Sardipika. So the point is here, even Prabhupada also sometimes he would say, there is no need for devotees to go and even join with the other family members for the funeral ceremony of their parents. Right? Even Prabhupada would say that. Why? It is not necessary, because devotional service supersedes karmakanda executions. So if you perfectly become Krishna conscious, you chant your rounds, you follow all the 9 angas of bhakti perfectly, then the result that your parent is supposed to achieve by the execution of karmakanda, even the higher result can be achieved if you are following Krishna consciousness perfectly. But sometimes devotees, they do it for the sake of teaching general people, so that they don't fall away from the practice. Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna. If I understand correctly, what is beneficial from the Pindan ceremony is that they get the Mahaprasadam.
Sorry, say again.
What the benefit of the Pinda offering is that the father gets the Mahaprasadam.
Yeah.
So, well, why doesn't he take the Mahaprasad before he dies?
No, here what is happening is, there are many people in India, they don't accept Mahaprasadam. But what you are saying, that of course that is recommended. We are not supposed to eat anything which is not offered to the Lord, because we are His faithful servant. This relationship between servant and master is that whatever remnants is left by the master, a servant is supposed to survive on that remnant. So this is the natural condition for the living being. Unfortunately, because of the lack of understanding and cultivation of Krishna consciousness, many people, even in India today, you can find, are not taking Krishna prasadam. I know many so-called rich Indian family members, they have deity, Krishna's deity at home. They would not offer bhoga to the Lord. They would just give some kind of sweet meat, something, once a day, and they would be preparing so many different kinds of food stuff. Of course, some of them are also vegetarians. And they'll say, no, we eat non-veg food, but we take care of the deity. Gopal is there at home, we offer little water in the morning, and tulsi. We know we need to offer, we have to offer tulsi to him, and also we give some sweet because he likes sweet. Where did he say he doesn't like chapati and rice, dal and sabji? He didn't say that. You are saying he likes sweet. Yes, he likes sweet. Along with sweet also, he likes nice rajbhog. They would not give him. And they would be just simply cooking at home and enjoying. So this is ignorance. Of course, if father is taking Krishna prasadam, then his consciousness will be pure. And at the time of leaving his body, maybe this Krishna prasadam will help him to remember Krishna. Antakale chamame vasmar mukta kalevaram. Then he will go to him. So that will define him. But at least, when he has left the body and he is now, the consequence is just waiting for him on the doorstep. The last chance, if somebody is offering this Krishna prasadam, he will be saved from the situation. We don't deny that if somebody can accept Krishna prasadam while he is alive, that's great. Why not? That's our moment is teaching to everybody, right? When we go, what do we tell people? Village people, they're not very much interested in big philosophy. We don't want to preach to them big philosophy also. Very simple thing. And these people right from the beginning, from their birth, they are following 4 regulative principles. Like villagers, there is no city life conception in village. So they are already following 4 regulative principles. So you don't have to tell anything about that. You just introduce, can you just chant Krishna's holy name? They'll say, yes. Whatever you are cooking at home, just offer to the Lord and accept that as a prasadam. Is it difficult? No, it's not very difficult. Because they are village people. Their heart is very simple. You can convince them very easily. Oh, you go to a person who is living in a mega city, you ask him, oh, you have time to chant? How can you expect me to chant? I return home around 11 o'clock at night, after finishing my responsibilities in the office, and after that you don't want me to sleep? Oh, after, when do you wake up? Oh, I wake up, you know, after waking up, I have so many other things to do. I am running such and such business, people start calling me while I am asleep even. Well, the time for chanting. Oh, my dear mother, can you offer bhoga to the Lord? No, 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 I don't have time actually. I don't cook. I have got, you know, several servants in my home. They cook for us. We have Gopal Didi, somebody is there to take care of him. They will talk to us like this. Then where is the question of these people honoring Krishna Prasadam while they are alive? That's why Prabhupada, he has given such a very useful and scientific process where everybody can be, you know, receptive to Krishna conscious process. So it is our duty to go out and help people to realize this fact so that they can start taking Krishna Prasadam when they are alive. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaura Premanande. Jai Ho Kalabhya Prabhu, Hare Krishna.